Welcome back, Nisi.
Welcome back. Thank you.
So, for all you listeners tuning into this particular segment, I am Louis Mercedes. This is my lovely sister-in-law, Nisi. And we are going to be talking about movies. Well, not necessarily movies, but this is a movie slash film industry related topic. This is going to be about what constitutes good salary or acceptable salary between actors, whether they're male or female, Oscar winners or box office draws. That's the kind of stuff that we're going to get into. So, without further ado, I'm going to actually pose this question to you, Nisi.
Sure, go ahead.
And this is, I think, a good lead-in or segue into what we're going to discuss. Who would you rather see in the movie theater? Now, I stress the term movie theater. Jennifer
Yes.
Lawrence or Michael Shannon? Now, for those of you who don't know who Michael Shannon is, if you've ever watched Boardwalk Empire on HBO years back, he's the nut that played Agent Van Alden, and
Or
he's done plenty of other roles. He's done General Zod in Man of Steel. He was in The Shape of Water most recently. He's a tremendously phenomenal actor, in my opinion, very underrated. But yes, who would you rather go see in the movie theater, Jennifer Lawrence or Michael Shannon?
I have kind of a double-edged answer to that.
Okay.
If I want to watch a good movie, I'm gonna go watch Michael Shannon. If I
Okay.
want to watch a movie where I'm gonna be entertained or I'm gonna enjoy, then I'll go watch Jennifer Lawrence. And here's why I say that. Obviously, Jennifer Lawrence, yeah, she's an Oscar winner. Yes, she's done good movies and whatnot. But she's had her 15 minutes of fame. How many more roles can she do? Kind of the same thing, where she's, the shy, timid little girl who r rises up and becomes the anti-hero of the story or whatever. Michael Shannon, yeah, he always plays the crazy nut, but everybody's entertained by the crazy nut. He's a good actor. He's always consistent.
Yep,
Loved him,
absolutely.
Boardwalk Empire. I just saw The Shape of Water not too long ago, and he was amazing in that.
I still haven't seen it. I have to check it out.
The movie itself was, I understand why it won the Oscar. Don't get me wrong, Guillermo del Toro, amazing. The story was amazing. Everything else was kind of eh. He was great though. He really was. I mean, you can't. You see his acting, you get who he's trying to be, the type of person he's putting across. But then again, he's playing the same type of Boardwalk Empire type, like that very vi rigid, following the law type of,
Yeah.
who act person who then kind of goes crazy. And then there's Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, I just saw Red Sparrow the other day, actually.
How was that?
It was good. I
Yeah,
don't.
your voice doesn't sound too convinced.
No, I mean, it was good. It was. It and she played a good role. Did I care for the nude scenes? No, I think they were unnecessary. Did I care for the fake Russian accent? No, I thought it was unnecessary, but obviously needed because it's a Russian spy movie, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd go see Michael Shannon before a Jennifer Lawrence movie
See,
if
that's
I
an
knew he
interesting
was in it.
answer. See, that's coming from, I guess, a film buff of sorts. Because if you ask the average person, now I'm just throwing out Michael Shannon and Jennifer Lawrence because I'm just thinking of the divide between a box office draw, a proven box office draw, and a more critically acclaimed actor. And there's plenty of other examples that I could have mentioned, but those are two actors slash actresses that came to mind.
To mine, yeah.
And when you think of the general audience, they're gonna say Jennifer Lawrence because you're thinking of the Hunger Games franchise, the X-Men franchise, the newer X-Men franchise. So she can put asses in seats essentially. So that's why I stress the term movie theater.
Yeah,
Michael
but you see,
Shannon,
and that's
I don't have to really pay my money to go and see Michael Shannon in order for me to be entertained by a brilliant performance. I can watch that from the comfort of my home. Jennifer Lawrence is the type of actress where, yes, she's gonna have films that I can watch from the comfort of my home, but then she also has movies like Red Sparrow that I would want to be entertained because I know it's a big budget type production. And again, she's an A-lister that's gonna put asses in seats. Not to say that Michael Shannon can't, because it hasn't been proven yet, but Michael Shannon is not the type of actor that can carry a film, let alone a franchise. Jennifer Lawrence can carry a franchise. She has already with The Hunger Games. So that our topic,
Well,
it's a
let's,
perfect segue for
if
our
you want to
topic.
talk about, if you want to talk about carrying a franchise, let's talk about Jennifer Lawrence carried the Hunger Games franchise, but look at her supporting cast.
True,
She
true.
wasn't standing alone. She had Woody Harrelson. She had what's her name?
Elizabeth
Elizabeth
Banks.
Banks. She had
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley, and she had Donald Sutherland. She had
That's true. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julianne Moore. She had an amazing, she had people, or at least co-stars, that people were gonna go see. She had for the younger kids, she had Josh, what's his last name? The guy
I
that plays
forgot. I
Peter.
forgot his. Yeah, I forgot his
She
last
had
name.
Liam.
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth.
For the younger audience, for like the Disney kids, who didn't really know who she was. Because you have to remember, she came out Winter's Bone, I think, before she came out with The Hunger Games. And
Well,
she
yeah,
was in.
it was Winter's Bone, then X-Men First Class, and then The Hunger Games.
So
Yeah.
she already was Oscar nominated in The Winter's Bone, and then she had the X-Men, that's right, she played, which already made her name known. But her supporting cast helped her carry that movie, which is why she was a box office draw. Because do you think, and I remember I saw the first Hunger Games in movie, and there was a lot of older people there. Do you really think they went to go see Jennifer Lawrence? No, they went to go see Donald Sutherland.
I mean, that really, here's the thing, that really depends on perspective.
Do you really
Because,
think a 70-year-old man knows who Jennifer Lawrence is?
well, no, not at that time, but my
No.
experience watching the games was different. There was actually a really good mix of both the younger crowd and the older.
Then again, I went during the matinee because I didn't want to deal with young kids. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, there you go. I went with Eric Sully, and there was like a couple of other friends of mine. But yeah, when we saw it, there was it was mostly a younger crowd, mostly teens to people in their mid to late 20s. They're probably fans of the books because they've read the books. Because remember that it was based on a novel,
Which is why I went to go watch it.
But at the same time, Jennifer Lawrence was under the age of 25 at the time. She's very good looking, and like you said, she's coming fresh off of an Oscar nomination, and she played Mystique in an X-Men movie. So she was gaining a lot of attention, a lot of clout within the industry. And I think that says a lot about how they wanted her to be the focal point of the franchise, because they could have gone with many other actresses. But
Yes, an
when I say Carrie, obviously, like, she had a great supporting cast, and the Hunger Games movies wouldn't have been as good, but she's the star. She was the one that was featured on all the billboards. She was the one that was like featured heavily in the marketing of the film.
Well, yeah, because who wants to see Woody Harrelson on a billboard? Nobody.
Right. You're not gonna like put Donald Sutherland and company unless it's like Jennifer Lawrence,
Yeah,
especially for a
exactly.
that. Let me read a list. This is an article from Business Insider,
Okay.
and it's titled "The 20 Actors Who Have Made the Most Money at the U.S. Box Office." So,
All right.
20 actors the most money at the U.S. box office. So, at number 20, Bruce Willis, $3.18 billion. Now, this isn't the money that the actors made. This is
No, I
the
saw.
amount of money that their movies have brought in. So, Bruce Willis at number 20. Will Smith at number 19, which is crazy that he's at number 19. I would think he's in like the top 10. But Will Smith, 3.2 billion. Emma Watson, 3.2 billion. Robert De Niro at number 17, 3.2 billion. That's crazy, right? You would never think that his movies gross that much
Never
money, but he,
know. Well,
yeah,
no, I
he's
mean, I
around.
no. He's been around forever, but continue. And I have a point. I want to make a point at the end of this that, but continue.
Okay, so number 16, the late Robin Williams, 3.27 billion. Number 15, Michael Caine, 3.39 billion. Number 14, Gary Oldman, 3.4 billion. I would have never thought that either.
Oh, he's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he's done a lot of movies, but I would have never thought that. Well, you know what? The Dark Knight trilogy helped
Oh, here
narrow.
we go. Continue.
Yeah, hey, I mean, the Dark Knight trilogy altogether grossed over $1 billion worldwide. So,
Let's not start our Christopher Nolan right now.
right. Then at number 13, you have Andy Serkis, 3.6 billion. And of course, if you don't know who Andy Serkis is, he played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He now plays Snoke in the Star Wars films, and he also played
Claw.
Caesar in the Planet of the Apes movies.
And he also played Ulysses Claw in Black Panther.
Oh yeah, that's right. Shit, holy shit. Okay, number 12, Johnny Depp, 3.6 billion. Number 11, Sir Ian McKellen, 3.65 billion.
Go
No
Gandalf.
surprises. Number 10, now we've reached the top 10. Number 10, Scarlett Johansson, 3.6 billion.
She's been in movies since I was 10.
Yeah. I remember first seeing her in Home Alone 3, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Let's see. Number 9, Stanley Tucci, 3.7 billion.
Okay.
Number 8, Tom Cruise, 3.7 billion.
Well, yeah, he was, Golden Boy for a long time.
Yeah. Number 7, Eddie Murphy, 3.8 billion.
Nutty Professor.
Yeah, number 6, which is outrageous. Number 6 is Anthony Daniels. I didn't know who he was until they told me who he was. Anthony Daniels, 4.01 billion, and he's basically known as C-3PO in the Star Wars movies.
CP3O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one knows who Anthony Daniels is unless you say C-3PO.
Yeah.
All right, now the top 5. Robert Downey Jr., 4.2 billion. No surprise there. Number 4, Morgan Freeman, 4.52 billion.
That's God right there, literally.
Yeah. Now the top 3. Number 3, Tom Hanks, 4.5 billion.
Okay.
Number 2, Harrison Ford, $4.963 billion. And then number one, you want to take a guess at who number one is? And it's probably not who you think.
Number one box office draw.
No, not box office draw, but just films that have
Oh,
grossed.
films that have grossed the most?
Yeah, with featuring that actor.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Nope.
Whew.
It is Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh.
Exactly. I asked, it's not what you think.
Well, and talking about Samuel Jackson.
5.1 billion. 5.1 billion. A lot of it has to do with the Avengers and the Marvel property, obviously.
Obviously, but he's done so many little projects here and there, and he's been involved in so many things. And his name is probably going to get only bigger once M. Night Shyamalan's Glass comes out. And
Oh,
he
yeah,
does
for
that
sure.
whole. And okay, so I know we're supposed to be talking about, but let's just talk about, can I segue a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, M. Night Shyamalan right now has me so excited
Oh,
because
me too. He fell off for a hot minute. Like
he
he was
did.
almost blacklisted from the industry.
Listen, if he can pull this off with taking those three movies and Unbreakable, Split, and now Glass, and putting them together, the most oddest movies and putting them together and somehow making them into one trilogy, I think it's
That's
going to be
genius.
absolutely phenomenal. Like, hands down, one of the best sci-fi trilogies
Yeah,
ever thrown
because you
out.
know something? Nobody expected any sort of tie-in with Split to any previous M. Night Shyamalan movie.
No,
I
I didn't at
remember
all.
reading online prior to me watching the film. I remember reading, I didn't read the spoilers or anything like that, but I read online that all the headlines were saying, so how about that crazy mind fuck of an ending and Split? And I'm like, what the hell is everybody talking about? So then I watched the movie and I'm like, holy shit. Like they just did that. And
Hilarious.
then after I went back and read a full review with spoilers and everything like that, and they were saying how like the movie theater just went absolutely ape shit for that
Yeah.
reveal.
And I'm telling you, I don't know what made him think of it, how, because he started off huge, M. Night Shyamalan,
Of
with
course. He had that, he had that
the
trifecta. He had Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Signs.
Yeah. And then he did Lady of the Lake and The Village, and I think he did he do The Mist? I think he did The Mist.
No.
No.
He did The Happening.
The Happening, that's what it was, The Happening.
Yeah.
And they were all mediocre movies. Yeah, they were entertaining, they were okay, but they weren't any. And then he comes out with Split, which honestly I didn't go to the movie theater to see. I watched it home. I wasn't thinking much of it, but then I started watching it mostly because I really wanted to see the movie. I wanted to see what the hype was all about and whatnot.
Yeah, James McAvoy is amazing in that role. I'm surprised he didn't get even any type of awards consideration.
And James McAvoy, even before he did, the X-Men, he was around. And I liked him ever since he did that movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie, which
Yeah, that was decent.
nobody ever knows, but I'm a huge Angelina Jolie fan, so I watched that movie and I've loved him for well, I've enjoyed his movies for a long time. So I watched this movie and I'm just like, oh shit, he's doing really well. And then I saw that ending, him sitting in the diner, and I'm just like, oh my God, did he just do this? Did he just do this? And
Yeah.
then I remember reading in CinemaCon and going, oh my God, there's a trailer for Glass. What? Wait, hold on a second, it's coming back. This is a decade.
Yeah.
This is a decade to happening. And it really brought me, and we all
Like,
know I have.
whoa, excuse yourself. You're older than you think. A decade and a half, almost 2 decades, because Unbreakable came out in 2000.
Shut up, boy.
Yeah, she said a decade. Holy shit. I wish it was a decade.
Okay, fine. To me, 2000 was just yesterday.
I know. It was almost yesterday to me too. That's the crazy thing.
Okay, so 2 decades in the making. But it's just, I'm sitting there going, and we all know my love for Doctor Who. So I'm sitting here going, this is reminding me so much of the longest running sci-fi show ever. This is kind of in that same realm. If he can pull this off, if this is a really good movie, this is a good script, and then he does a movie to follow up with it where he has all three of them in there. Now, mind you, all these actors are aging. Okay, Bruce Willis and
Yeah.
Sam L. Jackson are not as young as they used to be.
Oh no, yeah, definitely not.
The next 5 years, he can really pull this off. It's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
When does Glass come out? Next year, right?
Next year, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's this year.
But then he needs to right away follow up with a sequel or an ending or something to tie it all together.
Well, you glossed over the fact that M. Night Shyamalan had a film prior to Split, and it was called The Visit, which was
Yeah,
a
no.
found footage. Yeah, no, but you know what? It was actually good. That was like the beginning of M. Night Shyamalan's comeback. You know, it wasn't a perfect film, but it was at the time his best movie in, well, since Signs, pretty much. Like it was consistent. There was a twist ending like he normally does because that's his trademark, but. I thought it was well done. It was well made. It was creepy as fuck. So that was like really the beginning of his resurgence.
So now talking about that topic, now we're going to have three actors in here. We're going to have James McAvoy, we're going to have Samuel L. Jackson, and we're going to have Bruce Willis. Two of those, as you just mentioned, are on the top 15 highest grossing films.
Yep. They're in
Out
the top 20. Yep.
one of
And
them
you know
got
what's
part
funny? You
time.
know the irony? Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson on the opposite ends of that spectrum.
Exactly. And then one of them is a Marvel hero, okay? Because he plays young Professor X.
Right.
And Marvel right now is leading box offices everywhere
Oh, of course.
with their movies, right? So now let's talk about pay for each of, and this is an all male cast. And I'm not looking at gender. Honestly, I think that whole gender, whether, okay, I'm a female and I know I'm all for female getting equal pay if they deserve it. Okay?
If exactly, if they
I don't
deserve
believe
it.
in just because I'm in the same movie as you, I need to get paid as well as you. No. So we're looking at an all male cast with, I'm sure they're going to have some females thrown in there. Who knows who it's going to be? But we have an all male leading cast, right? Do
Yep.
you think they should all get equal pay?
Absolutely not.
I don't believe.
First of all, James McAvoy, the movies that he's starred in and headlined, they've gotten limited releases and they're not released the same way as a Samuel Jackson picture or a Bruce Willis picture. He's not that kind of actor where he's a box office draw. Now, granted, yes, he's a huge part of the X-Men franchise, but that's an ensemble cast. That's totally different. You know,
Now,
no one's gonna flock to the theaters and say, "Damn, I can't wait to see that James McAvoy movie." You
exactly.
know,
But now,
with
can
all due
they
respect to James McAvoy, he's an incredible actor. I think he's very, very talented. But again, it goes back to the Michael Shannon and Jennifer Lawrence thing. Would you rather see a Bruce Willis movie in the movie theater or James McAvoy? Would you rather see a Samuel Jackson or James McAvoy picture in the movie theater?
Now is when it becomes tricky. The last Bruce Willis movie that I saw, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but he played like a federal agent or something who's trying to protect his daughter. It was one of the
Was
worst.
it Surrogate? No,
No, not.
right?
And I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but it was one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen.
Well, you know what? Bruce Willis hasn't been hot in a long time. He's done a bunch of straight to DVD, straight to Netflix movies. You know, he obviously doesn't have the box office power that he once had. But the last dope as fuck, very underrated movie that I've seen with Bruce Willis was Looper with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which came out in 2012. Now
Yeah,
that is a great sci-fi flick, and that
that was a
actually
great
made a good amount of money.
one. And as I'm talking to you, I'm trying to see if I can possibly look up the movie that I'm talking about because it was just so horrifically bad that.
Yeah, he's done quite a few of those. You know what? He's at the point in his life or his career that it doesn't even matter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's Bruce Willis. Like, there was no need for them to do a Die Hard 5 when that came out 5, 6 years ago. Where he's teaming up with, I think, his son or something like that in Russia. There was no need for it. You know, I was okay with Live Free or Die. What was it called? The fourth one.
Oh, I don't remember what the hell it was called.
Damn. Live Free or Die Trying. No, Die. Live Free or Die Hard. Live Free or Die Hard. There you go. Yeah. So when I was a little skeptical when they came out with that one, but that was actually really good. That was very entertaining. But that's where it should have ended. But then once they started milking the franchise, you could tell Bruce Willis just signed up for the paycheck. That was it.
And I can't find the name of it, but anyway, it was.
You'll find it when you're sleeping and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're having nightmares. Like, oh,
Yeah,
that's the bad Bruce Willis movie.
it was a really bad movie. Okay, and if you ask me right now if I want to go see a Bruce Willis movie or a James McAvoy movie, I'm going to say James McAvoy.
Well, now, yeah, of course, in 2018, of course, because James McAvoy is a little more relevant than
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. But if you had asked someone 6 or 7 years ago, I think the
They
response would
would
be
say that.
universal because everybody would be like, "Who the hell is James McAvoy?"
Now, but who gets paid more? Now, Bruce Willis or Samuel Jackson?
Oh, you see, that's where it starts to get tricky because
Exactly.
right now, I would think Samuel Jackson, just for the simple fact that Samuel Jackson is picking better roles. First of all, he's attached to the Marvel
Yeah,
Studios movies,
see,
right?
I don't believe, and I don't
No, and
believe
look,
people
he's
should
still
get
involved
paid.
with Tarantino. He was in Tarantino's last two films.
But I don't think people should get paid. And I may be wrong. I'm not in the movie industry. I don't know the sliding. And I guess it's a sliding scale. But I don't believe actors should get paid, be paid by whether or not they're a bigger box office draw. That's unfair. That's a slap in the face to the veterans who've put in the time, hard work, and effort.
I, you know what, you have a very solid point. I think, you know what, I could see both sides of the argument though.
If let's just say if Bruce Willis was never a starring actor, if he never carried a movie by his own, he never carried a franchise, he never did any of that, then okay, I could understand. But the man has done it all. He's carried a franchise. He's been around since I'm 32. He's been around for 32 years. Solid. I know his name. I know who he is. He's constantly in the media, constantly around. He's
Yeah.
still working his ass off. Whether or not it's straight to DVD or whatever, he's still working his ass off. He's still doing it. And you know, in the real world, and the real world, I mean not Hollywood, if you and I go both for a same job, and I've been doing it for 10 years, let's just say we both have the same credentials, same and everything that, but I've been doing it for 10 years and you're a rookie, who's getting paid more? I am, because I've been doing it longer.
Yeah, you have the seniority.
I can demand more pay. Unless you have a skill set that I don't have. But I mean, what skill set does Samuel Jackson have that Bruce Willis doesn't?
More versatility maybe. Because most people would tell you that Bruce Willis is not a very good actor.
He's not.
He's very one-dimensional, but he has screen presence and he has a charm to him. And that's why people are entertained by him. I think Samuel Jackson is leaps and bounds ahead of Bruce Willis as far as like just overall acting ability is concerned. But you know,
Listen, how many times
again,
can you
I can
say
see both sides of the argument. Like, if I'm going to make the argument for an actor that is a bigger box office draw, commanding a bigger salary, my whole thing is Hollywood at the end of the day is a business. So their business model is to put out feature films in these movie theater chains, get people to come and see it based on who they want to see, like who would be the bigger attraction. So
okay.
if Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, if he walked up into Warner Brothers, Universal, any of these studios, and they wanted to offer him a role, and he said, I want X amount of dollars or I walk, he warrants that because he's proven. I'm not saying that he's the greatest actor in the world. His acting has improved tremendously, but I'm not, you know, but I don't, I'm not saying that he's better
No,
than
okay, but I
any better or
understand.
any worse than Samuel Jackson, but the
No,
fact
I
that his
understand
films
that.
worldwide, his films have grossed tons and tons and tons of money. So he deserves whatever pay he's asking for because he's the biggest box office star on the planet right now.
Okay, but let's say The Rock and Meryl Streep both walk into the same room,
Ah, see
and
now that's the other side of the argument.
Meryl Streep says, I want this, so I walk, and he says, I want the same thing, or I walk. Who deserves that pay?
Still. And the reason why is because Meryl
Hypocrisy.
Streep, it's,
That's
you
where
know
the
what? It's, yeah, it's very.
That's why there isn't equal pay, because Hollywood is all based on box office show, box office. But you know what? That's not fair, because The Rock, as great as he is, and he's come up from wrestling, and he's amazing, but he's not the same actor as Meryl Streep, and he doesn't deserve that same that's I'm sorry, that same recognition.
Yeah, it's a different kind of I don't know what the term.
If you want to go,
It's
if you want to even go with a, let's say a lesser actress, okay?
No, but the
The
Rock and Roll shit, that's a great because now I'm scratching my head like, you know what? The
Rock
stu
and
I know
Jennifer.
from the studio's perspective, they would they would throw more money at the Rock, obviously, because he's younger. He's he was just voted as the world's sexiest male, the People magazine's sexiest man on the planet, this, that, and the third. But Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep. She's one of the greatest actresses ever.
A little too far in the spectrum, because she's more of a drama, he's more of an action. Let's
Yeah, exactly.
stay in the same realm, right? Let's
Okay.
say, and this is just, I'm gonna try to go off the fly here with like actresses, but let's just say Jennifer Lawrence, and since we mentioned her before, and Emma Stone both walk into a
Okay.
room. Right? Or you know what, if you want to do male and female, we'll go with I don't know, give me a drama actor. That's a high enough name. Let's just say, oh, perfect example, right? I just watched a Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh,
So we
that Alfred Hitchcock remake.
had Johnny Depp, and we had Johnny Depp and Michelle Pfeiffer in the same cast, in the same ensemble cast.
Right.
And both of them are a little bit of kind of has-beens, right?
Yeah.
But they're still both big. If you hear Michelle Pfeiffer's in a movie, you'll probably go watch it. You hear Johnny Depp's in a movie, you'll probably go watch it, right? Am I right or am I wrong? You can tell
No,
me.
yeah, of course. But that's our generation. No one knows who Michelle Pfeiffer is under the age of 25. I would, I'm just making a generalization, but under the age of 21, you don't really know who Michelle Pfeiffer is.
Help me out here. I'm trying to think of two like in the same type of caliber. Let's say Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish both walk into a freaking room right now. They're both comedians, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's bad. You see, Melissa
Yeah,
McCarthy.
no, all the comparisons that you're bringing up are bad because they're all within the same kind of league, I guess. They're in the same tier.
Melissa McCarthy and Kevin Hart both walk into a same into a room.
Oh, you see, now that's a good one.
They're both comedians. They both have big box office draws. They both have done really well from themselves the past couple of years. Kevin Hart came from the stage. I don't know if you know, but Melissa McCarthy came from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I don't. I never watched Gilmore
Okay,
Girls.
but but she came from TV. He came from the comedian stage. Now they're both box office draws, they both walk into a room, right? They both have pretty successful movies. Which one gets
Right.
paid more? I'm going to tell you who gets paid more.
Kevin Hart, because he's a man.
But you see, and I don't want to look at, and I hate that gender thing. But he gets paid more because he's a man. Does he deserve it? Probably not. Actually,
Or
no.
probably because his last couple of films are some of the biggest films of the deck, like Jumanji, for instance. Yes, it
She
was part of.
was in Bridesmaid. She was in one of the biggest comedian ensemble class casts ever.
True, but in all fairness, Kevin Hart's movies have been more well received than Melissa McCarthy's, with the exception of a couple. Like Spy was very well received and it made a ton of money. Bridesmaids, obviously, she was part of the ensemble. But you know what? Not all of her recent movies have made. Actually, what was that movie? Tammy, I think it was called. That shit was a flop. Then
Yeah, I mean,
she had another one that was a flop. I can't even remember the name. So she hasn't quite been on as hot of a streak as you would think. Kevin Hart, on the other hand,
but also
Jumanji.
that constitutes you getting paid more because you're on a streak.
I mean, yeah, because you know what? The entertainment industry is all about who's hot. That's just how it goes. I don't think it has anything to do with gender or sex politics or anything like that. I just think it's a very streaky kind of business. You know what I mean? Yes, they're gonna.
Making it about gender. Women are walking into a room, and I say this again with all due respect, but women are walking in the room and demanding the same pay as a man. Why? You don't have the caliber that that man does, and that
Right.
man on the hand doesn't have the caliber that woman does. For instance, and the topic that brought me to this original like kind of like spiel was the whole The Crown, right, with Claire Foy and Matt Smith. And I remember you calling you about this, saying, "Hey, listen, let's do a podcast about this because this kind of has me riled up." And people were moaning, bitching and moaning that Claire Foy wasn't getting paid as much as Matt Smith. Claire Foy, before Netflix found her on, I didn't know who she was. I could not tell you who she was.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
Okay, I'm sure she's done some stuff, but I couldn't tell you who she was. Matt Smith, on the other hand, I could tell you who he was. Could you tell me? Maybe not. But could the millions of nerds that watch Doctor Who tell you who Matt Smith is? Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And not just in America. Okay, we're looking worldwide. People know who Matt Smith is. Okay? So now here comes, the crown, and now people are bitching and moaning that he's getting paid more than she is. Well, let's see it this way. If you start a job and I start a job, and you're making this amount, and I'm making, let's say, 20,000 less than you, and we both do a great job, we get bonuses, and you get 20,000, how much am I going to get? 20,000, am I not? Let's just say we get the same bonus. Who's still getting paid more?
Well, yeah,
I
you pretty much answered your question. Yeah, you.
No, I am, right?
Yeah.
So why are people bitching that he's getting paid more? He was a known actor. He got onto the show, paid more. She showed up. She got acclaim. She got whatever, the Emmy nomination, da 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 da, for, or Golden, whatever it was, Golden Globe or whatever nomination
Yeah.
for it. And great, good for her. Yeah, get paid more. Definitely your contract, your price. But why should you get the same as Matt Smith?
No, that's a good point.
Both co-stars in the show. Why are people bitching and moaning that you're getting paid less than him? Why do you deserve the same pay? He was still the bigger star. You both got quote unquote raises. He's still going to be making more than you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
This is
no,
how you deserve to have.
there's something to be said about longevity in the industry too, because we don't know what goes on behind the scenes as far as politics are concerned with casting and actor salary and whatnot. But I would imagine like longevity and good standing with a lot of studio executives and things of that nature go into play. Because even when we're not talking about movies and these A-list actors and critically acclaimed actors go into the universe of television, whether it be Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, whatever, or HBO, they're gonna get mad pay just based off their name, even if their movie hasn't grossed $300 million in North America. You know,
Oh,
like Matthew McConaughey, for example, he's an A-list actor, and I'm sure they had to pay him a pretty penny for True Detective, you know, because he's Matthew McConaughey.
Big Little Lies has Reese Witherspoon, has Laura Linney, not Laura Linney, what's her
Nicole Kidman.
name? Nicole Kidman, has Zoe Kravitz, has Shailene Woodley, and
Has
guess what?
the other guy, I forgot his
Nikolai.
name.
Skarsgård,
Yeah,
Alexander
Skarsgård, yeah.
Skarsgård. It, and season two is going to have Meryl Streep. You think Meryl Streep is going to get paid the same as those women, other women? Hell no. You know she's getting paid well.
Wait a
And she's
minute. I thought Big Little Lies was only like a limited series, one season
sir,
thing.
there's a season two coming out, which I'm very excited about. But there's
And
a season two
Meryl Streep is
coming out.
actually in it?
Meryl Streep is actually in it. She's going to play
Holy shit.
Skarsgård's mother.
Oh, no, forget it. She's gonna probably be the highest paid actress on that whole entire cast.
Let's go. And you know what? Let's start with, you want to go on TV? Let's go with Friends. At one point, they were all getting paid $1 million. But you know what? I'm sorry. That wasn't fair. Courteney Cox was the bigger, I guess bigger name than any of them there because of the Scream trilogy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, when she signed on there.
That wasn't really known outside of Friends just yet. Like she had
Yeah.
like minor comedic roles. She was in Office Space and movies like that. But yeah,
Yeah,
you're
but
right
she
though.
was in,
Okay, Courteney Cox was married to David Arquette,
David
so
Arquette, who has the Arquette dynasty behind him.
yeah.
And she, you know, they all got paid the same. That was, but because they all made that show come together.
Right.
And you know, one person, they couldn't, I guess, pay one person more because they all became famous with that, because then they all started branching. Well, not all of them, but like Jennifer Aniston started branching out and doing movies and this, that, and the other, right?
Yeah.
She married
Well, I mean, it
Brad
wasn't
Pitt.
for lack of trying. They all tried to go to separate ways, but some became bigger
Yeah.
stars than others.
But you know, they all got paid the same on that show, but that show was amazing, and they all deserved equal pay on that because the cast together made that show. The same thing if you look at other ensemble casts, is like Will and Grace, and I'm just talking about TV. You
Yeah.
know, I don't know how the pay goes, but it should be all equal pay there. But then when you look at when you're taking people from and actors and actresses from movies, where it's a lot more strenuous. And I told you this before. I'd like to think that they factor in location, how long a person's on the screen, whether or not they're going to be away from their home. You know, it's like any other job that asks you to relocate. They got to pay for your living expenses, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You would think they would factor that all in. It wouldn't just be whether or not I'm a male or a female, or whether or not I get a bigger box office draw than the next person.
Yeah, and you know, ever since like the Harvey Weinstein scandal opened the floodgates, and then that started like a whole bunch of it basically was the catalyst for
Yeah.
the hashtag Me Too time, the hashtag Time's Up movement.
Time's up.
And it was the catalyst for all these women who have been sexually assaulted or had
And I
inappropriate
understand that.
remarks and actions. That was the start of it all. And do you think that this movement, ever since it started happening, has brought more awareness to the point where Hollywood is going to start making changes based on who deserves pay and whatnot? Because yes, I understand that it is a gender thing what they're advocating for, because they feel like females have been subjugated long enough in the movie industry. But I'm wondering what's going to happen moving forward, because now you're starting to see that it's not just about women, it's also about not including diversity, you know. And Black Panther was a huge step forward in that.
Oh
So
yeah.
I'm wondering, like, where is this headed? Like, is this actually going to impact everybody's pay moving forward, or is this just like a, I hate to say it, but a flavor of the month kind of thing, so to speak?
I hope it does impact everybody's pay, but not just because of gender or race, or I'd like to see people start getting paid on talent, ability, and what they deserve. You know, I don't think that a man should get paid more than a woman, but I also don't think a woman should get paid more than a man just because she's a woman.
Unless it's Meryl Streep, who has more Oscar nominations than I have fingers and toes.
Even her, you know, I mean, I don't know who else is in her caliber in that sense,
I guess
but
Robert De Niro or Al Pacino or somebody like that, like, you know, one of those older heads, because
different genres that they play in. You know,
no, I don't buy that. You know why? Because Meryl Streep was in The Deer Hunter with Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken.
oh, that's true.
Yeah, so I don't buy that shit. And all of them were nominated for Oscars and shit, and won for that movie.
I just think that this whole gender thing where women are crying that men are getting paid more really needs to stop, because it's just, I'm sure Hollywood is doing it. I'm not saying Hollywood is not doing it.
Of course they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things, and we don't know the full, you know, story behind everything. We don't know all the contracts. I'm by far, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not looking at these contracts. I'm not even in the mood. And you know, and these women crying, but they're making 650,000 a movie, and you know, that's like you know, 6 years worth of salary for me or some shit. Like, come on. You
Well,
know,
yeah, and that goes to one of the points that we were gonna bring up with Michelle Williams, how she was she was kind of bitching about her pay in comparison to
Mark Wahlberg's.
Mark Wahlberg and well, Kevin Spacey was on the movie at the time, then he got replaced at the last minute by Christopher Plummer, blah blah blah. But even if, well, even so, even if you're alongside Christopher Plummer, I'm pretty sure Christopher Plummer's getting.
Well, even, Mark Wahlberg got paid more, but you know what? He had to go back and reshoot all those scenes. I'm like I said, I'm pretty sure I know Mark Wahlberg lives in Boston. He had to go relocate to California to shoot that movie. I don't know if Michelle where Michelle Williams lives. I think she lives in Brooklyn, actually. I'm not sure.
Oh, she still lives there?
Or maybe not. Maybe she lived in LA. I don't know. But he had a lot of reshoots to do. He had a lot of this, that, and the other. Why doesn't he deserve a bonus? And also, he's a better actor than she is.
I don't know so much about that. Look, I like Mark Wahlberg just as much as the next guy, but I mean, as you, if you're talking like straight acting, I don't know. I don't think I'd put him over Michelle Williams.
I don't think I've never been since Dawson's Creek. I've never been a big Michelle Williams fan.
He just had to bring up Dawson's Creek, huh?
Isn't that the first? That's like the first thing she was on that I can remember.
I can't remember her in anything before that, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but you see, when I see movies like Brokeback Mountain and even Blue Valentine, Blue
I
Valentine's
saw
some
Blue
powerful
Valentine. It was a
shit.
great movie.
Yeah, and
Great movie.
you can't tell me that she's not a strong actress. It's just that
I'm not.
she's very, I guess she's a little too selective with her roles because she stars in movies that no one goes to see. You know? These movies
Yeah,
that get
maybe that's
released
what it is. Maybe,
in like
yeah.
fucking three theaters per every 18 miles.
Maybe she does things that, are close, near and dear to her heart. I don't know.
Yeah, she does a bunch of passion projects. There's plenty of actors like that. But
She wasn't even the lead role. She was a co-star, and why? And I'm gonna say, oh, because she's a woman. I don't think it's because she's a woman. I just think it's because she didn't deserve the pay.
yeah, you know what?
Am I wrong? I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And I'm sure if any woman that listens to this is gonna be like, gonna bash me and tell me I'm not a feminist or whatever. I'm not for the people, but I'm the type of person that believes you get what you work for.
Yeah, no, forget it. With your disgusting statements, I just lost about 50 female viewers or listeners,
Yeah,
rather.
exactly. No, but I'm serious. It's just I believe you get what you work for. And you can name two Michelle Williams movies. I could probably name five Mark Wahlberg movies. Not
And
to
you know
mention,
what's funny? I can't name right off the top of my head right now at this moment more than about two or three Michelle Williams movies. So you got me in that one.
and not to mention, Mark Wahlberg's gonna go down in history as Marky Mark in the Funky Group, so in
Oh
the
gosh.
Funky Bunch. No, but he has movies, he has music,
Yeah, terrible music, but yeah, music nonetheless.
he has TV. Hello, Entourage.
Well, yeah, and Ballers. He executive produces Ballers too.
Well, yeah, exactly. He has the Wahlburgers with his brothers. He has a burger franchise right now with his brothers.
Is that still open on Coney
Yes,
Island?
it's still open in Coney Island.
Yeah. Look at
And now
that.
they're actually starting to sell the burgers in stores. So,
Oh.
he has a lot to his name that merit him to get paid that.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg is his own brand, pretty much.
Exactly. So what does Michelle Williams have?
No, she's not her own brand. She's Heath Ledger's widow.
Fiance, yeah, no, fiance, because she was never married to him.
Oh man. That doesn't bode well for me, huh?
She's Heath Ledger's baby
That doesn't bode well for me and your sister.
mama. She's Heath Ledger's baby mama. Okay.
Damn, that doesn't bode well for me or Karen.
Yeah, right.
Shit, God forbid I kick the bucket. Oh yeah, he was just Karen's husband slash fiance, but not really husband because they were never married.
You're just a baby daddy.
Yeah, just the baby daddy, that's it.
No, seriously, I mean, if you ask anybody, Michelle Williams, and they're going to tell you Dawson's Creek or the chick that was going to marry Heath Ledger.
Ugh.
Am I wrong or am I right? I mean, you can tell people
No, you're right.
this.
You know what? You're right. That's, you know what's funny? Who is the one that made it the biggest in Dawson's Creek? Because I'm gonna have to say it's either Joshua Jackson or Katie Holmes, right?
Oh, Katie Holmes.
I guess, yeah, Katie Holmes. No, but Joshua Jackson, he had that series Fringe, and Fringe was very successful on Fox.
James Vanderbeek also had that one football movie that made it
Yeah,
really big.
Varsity Blues, I think it was called.
It's kind of like that cult classic type of, you know?
It was pretty good for its time.
Yeah, so, you know, and kids nowadays watch them, and it's one of those cult classic movies like Love and Basketball, you know,
Of course.
Varsity Blue, you know what I'm saying? So, Basketball Diaries, you know, those are those type of like gridiron gang. You know, you think about like sports movies, you think about that, you know, Field of Dreams. You
I
put
mean,
them
I
all
wouldn't
in
put Varsity Blues in the same class as Field of Dreams, but
there. I'm just talking about like sports movies, those cult classic sport movies. People, believe me, they blend them together. Okay? I'm gonna sit there, I'm gonna watch Sandlot, and then I'm gonna watch Varsity Blues. Okay, I'm gonna sit.
no, the Sandlot is awesome. Yeah, of course.
So it's just that, you know, it's just that. But then you look at, for instance, I know Ocean's 8 is coming out, and that's going to be an all-female cast, right?
That should be very interesting to see the amount of money that brings in.
You think Sandra Bullock is going to take less than any of those other women?
Hell no.
Exactly. So, but that's okay. Nobody's going to say anything because it's all women there,
Yeah, exactly.
right? But the
If
minute
you
you throw a man in there,
put Don Cheadle alongside Sandra Bullock, then you know.
oh, then there's a problem if he gets paid more. Oh, no. He needs to get paid more because he's black and he's black? No. Or because he's a man? No. Who's the better actor? Who's the better caliber of an actor? I'm sorry, I'm going to go with Don Cheadle.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Sandra Bullock, but everybody's going to go with Sandra Bullock because she's America's sweetheart.
That's true. Ocean's 8, that comes out next month, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty interesting. I'm actually intrigued to see how
I'm
all of
very
that
interested,
plays out.
but ain't nobody's talking about that pay. I'm talking about, I think Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz have a movie coming out, which they're getting paid the same. Well, hello, I'm not going to let you pay my husband more than you pay me. Hell yeah, we're going to get paid the same. We're at the same caliber of an actor.
That's true. I prefer
Javier.
Javier Bardem,
But they're still the same caliber of actors. They're both Oscar nominated. They've both been in Oscar winning movies.
Correction, Javier
He's
Bardem
an
is an
Oscar
Oscar
winner.
winner. That's
Yes.
right.
But okay, but they've both been in Oscar nominated movies and everything. They've been around as almost as long as each other. Okay, so
That's
yeah,
true.
they both deserve equal pay, whether or not they're married.
Yeah,
Okay,
you
but
know that, and that would be messed up if one got paid more than the other.
exactly. But that's not going to happen. And it shouldn't happen because, like I said, they're in the same realm caliber of actor. It has nothing to do with man or female. Well, I don't think it should have to do with male or female. It's not
Well,
like that.
I don't think that the male female argument is I think that's from a feminist point of view, but I don't think that's what it is, or well, it's probably what it is in certain cases, but I don't think that's what it should come down to. I think it should just come down to recognizability, longevity, and attraction status. Those are like the three major factors that go into that should go into an actor's salary, you know?
I agree, but
Like
that's
Michael
not.
B. Jordan now. He's at the point in his career where he could command a lot more money than, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, no, after Fruitvale Station came out, he could. After The Wire came out, he actually could have demanded a pretty good salary.
No, but not as high as you think. Fruitvale Station was great, you know, but all that
You
got
know?
him was critical acclaim, and it was an impressive addition to his resume. But what I'm saying is, now that he came out with
Black Panther.
Creed, Creed and Black Panther, and he's working with Ryan Coogler. Now he's on the cover of GQ and Men's Health and all that shit. Now he can walk into a studio and say, "All right, I'm Michael B. Jordan. Like, what do you have for me?"
Well, I can't wait for his next movie because you know he's doing Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That comes out, I think, either next week or the week after.
None other than Michael Shannon.
Yeah, there you go. Michael Shannon and Michael B. Jordan. Man, I can't fucking wait for that film.
Okay,
And Creed 2 comes out later this year.
too. So you know it's like you look at the resume, you look at what the person's done, and then you pay them according to the resume. Don't pay them according to their gender. Don't pay them, and people need to stop crying and saying, "Oh, I'm a woman, I got paid less." Listen, if I you give me your resume and you have five things, and then a man shows up and he has 10 things, I'm going to pay the man more because he has more things on his resume than you do.
And you know what? Vice versa. If I walked into I you know as an educator, if I walked into an interview applying for an assistant principal position and I only have 3 years of teaching experience under my belt versus a woman who probably put in 13 to 15 years of work, that has nothing to do with sexism or gender politics. They're going to give it to the more qualified person.
Well, you know, it depends. It depends because it's also you do an interview, and that's what auditions are, right? You do an interview, you have to have charisma and charm, and you might be able to win over the interviewer, and they might overlook your lack of years of experience because you give them a certain ne sais quoi, you know, that pushes it forward for you to get hired. But that's
Oh,
why you
you give them a nice blow job, huh?
don't want
It must be what it is. They overlooked the qualifications because everything else was so good.
No, but I'm just saying that sometimes that does happen. Sometimes, you know, they want a fresh face. They want something new. They want, you know, to go with a different. It happens. And the veteran just goes, "What the F just happened? Why did I just lose that position?" And it's just because that other person may have not had as many years, but they had something that they were looking for.
Yeah, it's true. 'Cause even the A-list actors that audition for certain roles, even they get turned down because, they're not, it's not what the director at the time is looking for that particular role,
Yeah, and you have to gel with the rest of the cast and the director and the producers and everybody, you know, and you have to have the right different, you know, I guess, you know, versatility to play different people and whatever, and to whatever the writer and the director, they've already embodied that role in their head. They know how it wants to look. And usually, more than likely, they already have somebody in mind that they want for it.
Of course. Tarantino says that all the time. When he writes parts for his screenplays, he already envisions certain actors and actresses to play those parts.
Oh, Tarantino, that's why his movies are so great because he, like, for the fact, Uma Thurman, he knew he wanted her to play the bride. He knew. He
Yeah.
wrote the role for her, which is why it was such a great role. And the movies worked well because it was written for her. It was tailored for her. It's the same way I can go to a store and buy a dress, and it's not going to look as nice on me as something that's tailored for me.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's true.
You know, and that's why the movies were great, but that's why Tarantino's always had great movies.
Yeah, speaking of Tarantino, his next film, which comes out next year, is called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it is confirmed that Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt will be starring.
Yes, I know, I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty flipping awesome.
I think it's the Manson movie, is it not?
Well, it's not a Manson movie per se, but it takes place around that time of the Manson murders, around the time it was occurring, because it takes place in Los Angeles, 1969.
Well, doesn't this guy isn't this guy playing Manson in that Zac Efron?
I didn't hear anything about that.
Maybe I'm confusing it. I know Zac Efron's doing a
Oh,
Manson
you
movie.
know what? Yeah, no, that's something different. Yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a separate and I don't think he's playing Charles Manson. I think he's playing Ted Bundy.
Bundy, that's what it is.
Yeah. Which
Yeah, so
that's
I'm mixing
interesting.
up my serial killers.
Yeah.
I'm just excited. There's movies about serial killers. I'm like, yay.
Yeah, no, those are always the best because then that's when you see the actors just like dig down deep into a whole other level.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just my dark fantasy life that I have hidden away in my journals, you know.
You like macabre things. That's okay. That's why I love horror movies and shit like that. I'm a horror hound.
You know, to this day, I have not been able to bring myself to watch It.
Ah, come on.
I
It
can't
is
do
not even that scary. It's not even scary to me. And you know what? The new one is good. Don't get me wrong, but I thought it
I
was a
can't.
little overhyped. I thought it was a little overrated.
Listen,
Just my opinion.
I love horror movies. I can watch horror movies to the end of days. I love them. I will sit in a dark room and watch blood, gore, and slashing all the time. But put a freaking clown in front of me, and I'm not doing it. I'm not. And just put it. Just put the movie It on, and it's the original It. I haven't gotten myself to watch the new one because I'm just afraid of what's gonna when I close my eyes, what's gonna show up. But just put, and I can't do it. I cannot do it.
You know what? The real stars of the new It are the kids, actually.
You know, so that
Yeah,
has nothing to do with that.
it was like Stranger Things, but in the Pennywise universe.
Anyways, I cannot do it. Oh my God.
I'll be sure the next time you visit, I'll be sure to leave a red balloon tied to the front door.
Bro, I won't walk in. Like, don't do that. Put a paper, you know.
I'll have Tate dressed up in a yellow raincoat holding a red balloon. How's about that one?
Traumatized by that damn clap. Don't.
God. But yeah, any final thoughts on any movies coming out, anything that you're intrigued by or excited for? Because now we're in the summer season for Hollywood, so lots of big tentpole movies.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 3 is coming out soon, and I am fucking hyped.
I read that. I don't know what I don't even know how to react to that. I mean, I love the Bill and Ted movies. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I just think it's a little too late.
I don't
I
care,
love
Ali.
Keanu Reeves though, so I'll give it a pass.
I'll watch it. I don't care how horrible it is, I will watch
Well,
it.
you know what? Keanu Reeves gets a pass because like he's always stayed relevant, and the John Wick movies are awesome. Well, I didn't see the second one, but John Wick was awesome.
The second one was all right. I mean, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day, I could sit here and watch Speed and Constantine like on a loop.
Thank
I love
you.
those.
I mean, not Constantine, that sucked, but Speed is a classic. I fucking love Speed.
Constantine was awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Constantine was okay. That should put me to sleep, honestly.
I loved all the like religion and connotations in the background and everything like that, and all the, you
I
know.
just didn't think he was good for the role. I think they could have gotten a better actor, to be honest.
I loved him in the role. I loved his dry, like, you know. But anyway, Speed, yes, I can watch Speed over. That's the movie.
Thank you. Thank you. You can tell that to everybody else in your family that I've been telling that to. Like, yo, Speed is a classic. Like, they don't make action movies like that anymore.
They don't. Hello, bus that can't stop. Great.
Exactly. Like that shit's and mind you, very limited if no CGI at all. That was
And
all
also,
practical effects. This is 1994.
this was just two people. I mean, the people in the back of the bus couldn't, you know, they didn't exist. It was basically Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves.
And Dennis Hopper, God rest his soul. Oh, and you know, Jeff Daniels is in it too.
Oh, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the cop. He plays Keanu Reeves' partner.
Oh, I forgot about that. So you
Yeah,
see?
Speed is a classic, man. It's a fucking classic.
Don't happen much.
That's gonna be a future episode of mine where I was reading on Collider.com because they have like these really nostalgic lists. And today I just happened to look on the site, and today's list was according to them, the top 25 action movies of the 1990s. And man, that brought back so many memories. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen a lot of these movies in a really long time, and they're all so good.
I mean, I probably have watched all of those movies. I was never really a big action fan growing up. I was more like a fantasy sci-fi drama. But I
Yeah.
probably watched them all maybe once or twice. To get me to watch an action movie, you have to really like catch my attention. So, I mean, like I watched Die Hard maybe once or twice. I watched like, Mad Max a few times. I absolutely
Seen the
Terminator.
Terminator.
I mean, I loved RoboCop growing up.
Yeah,
I don't
RoboCop was good.
care what anybody says. Don't ask me why, but I loved Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that was silly, but it was entertaining.
I loved it. I loved what else? This is so not, but I was just talking about the original Flash movie was great.
I didn't care for it. I mean, whatever.
And I'll still watch it till today. That was the beginning of the end. And I wish, that they continued making movies like that because they just, they were so good. They don't happen anymore. I mean, we have action movies now, but they're kind of eh.
No, the action movies, the problem with most action movies, not all of them, but most action movies now is just, it's very CGI heavy. And it makes you appreciate the action movies of yesteryear because of the fact that it was mostly practical effects, which is why Mad Max Fury Road was excellent because 90, over 90% of that film was shot with practical effects. Very, very minimal CGI in that movie.
And talking about that, Tom Hardy as Venom. Oh my God, I am like salivating waiting for it.
Yeah, I'm not that excited.
Listen,
I love
if
Tom
you're looking,
Hardy. Tom Hardy's is the best, but
I don't care about Tom Hardy. I just care that there's a Venom movie.
this movie does not look that good.
Listen, hands down, growing up, it was Spider-Man and Venom for me. Always
Oh,
has been.
exactly. It was Spider-Man and Venom in opposition towards one another, and Carnage too, and all that good stuff. I don't really care for Venom as a solo act. I understand that Venom has his own line of comic books and shit like that. He's an anti-hero, blah 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 blah. Yeah,
It's
but
gonna tie.
I don't really care for it. And you know what? The trailer didn't really do a good job of convincing me otherwise. Like, it just doesn't look like it's gonna be a good movie.
Okay, well, I hope it proves you wrong because I'm really excited about it.
You know what? I hope it proves me wrong too. I want it to prove me wrong. I just have a feeling that it's not going to be very good.
I'm not excited for Deadpool 2.
I'm excited for that. Deadpool 2 is going to be great.
I've never I like the first one. The second one just seems eh. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, to each his own. Well, yeah, we shall see. I'm pretty sure it'll be good though, because they're setting up the X-Force, which is long overdue.
Very long overdue. It should have happened a long time ago. It should have happened back when they did X-Men First Class.
Yeah, but I think the timing is perfect now that Deadpool is actually a household name.
Well, yeah, nobody really knew who he was.
Yeah, unless you were a comic book fan, like no one really knew who Deadpool was. Then once the movie came out and made it big, and the fact that it was R-rated and it was like it turned the superhero genre on its head because of its subversive humor and things like that, and its irreverence.
That's actually that might be a good topic for us if we do this again. Do you think Marvel is doing too much?
No, I don't think so. And the reason why is because you got to remember Marvel Studios and what they're doing with the MCU is different from what Fox is doing with their Marvel properties. But now that Disney acquired Marvel, I mean, acquired Fox, and that'll be official after next year, we'll finally see the everything come together like it should be under one umbrella, like it should be.
You have the whole Avengers and you have, the X-Men, then you have the solo, Jessica Jones, you have
No, they're not doing
Cage.
too much. I'm gonna tell you why, because they're supposed to,
Parker.
they're doing They're doing
Please.
exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Marvel Comics, we're talking about the comics here. Marvel
Yes.
Comics has a whole laundry list of characters dating from back, the 1960s and even before that, because Captain America is a little older. So now is it's like what it's that cliche saying goes, what a time to be alive. Now is when you're seeing all of these things come to fruition and all these properties getting adapted. Now is the time, the perfect time to be a comic book fan or superhero fan. They're just doing what they probably want, what they wanted to do
For so
three,
long.
four, 5 decades ago. But now that they have the resources and the money and the technological advancements, now is the perfect time for it. So I don't think they're doing too much. There's something
Are
for
you excited
everybody.
about Captain Marvel coming out?
Oh yeah, definitely
Yeah.
excited.
I don't know too much about the casting, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's Brie Larson, a young Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, there you go, Samuel L. Jackson. Brie Larson's another one. She's gonna become a household name after Captain Marvel because she is a very, very good actress,
She
tremendously
got the
gifted.
role.
But
It's
you know
amazing.
what? No one's gonna flock to the theater and say, "Oh, I want to see that Brie Larson movie," because not too many people know her. They will know her after next year, trust me.
They will. They will.
Yeah, they will know her because of Captain Marvel and the next Avengers movie. I'm telling you. Then that's when they'll be like, "Oh yeah, Brie Larson, she's the shit."
We'll see. We shall see. I just realized Samuel L. Jackson is in the Marvel and the Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yeah, but I think the prequel trilogy for Star Wars is one that we all like to forget.
You know what? I again, and this is where we differ. I'm not a Star Wars fan. I honestly liked the prequels with Hayden Christian and, Christensen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm sure you'll crucify me for it, but I liked them. They were entertaining. They were good to me. Mostly because I really do not follow. If there's one nerdy thing I am not, is I am not a Star Wars fan. So
Yeah, you're. I guess you're. There's got to be an anomaly with everything, right? I mean, that's not to say I'm a die-hard Star Wars fan, and I'm like, I know the mythology from top to bottom, but I do really enjoy Star Wars. I've always enjoyed the movies.
gonna do something, I'm gonna do it. So like I need to delve in and get the whole mythology, and it's just always been so cumbersome and just so much to digest that I was just like, all right, I gave up trying, and I was just like, no, I'm not doing this. That's it. I'm so not getting into
Well,
it.
Karen and I, at some point, probably this summer, we'll revisit all the Star Wars movies because she doesn't have any clue. That's why she can't watch any of the newer ones with me because she'll be totally lost. So we have to go back to the original trilogy and then, work our way to the contemporary stuff.
Honestly, I think you should do Star Trek instead, but that's just my opinion.
But she knows about Star Trek, though. Yeah, she doesn't know about Star Wars, and like, she's interested and she wants to know what all the hoopla is about.
I suppose. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't get the whole blood and just, Chewbacca all the way, yay.
Well, I guess we agree to disagree. But anyway, thanks so much for coming on and taking your time out to have a very lively discussion about
I
everything
think
related to Yeah, everything related to everything.
if we ever made like one solid point. I think it was just like it all kind of bounced around. But it's a discussion of opinions, and I don't think opinions ever have a solid point, so there we go.
Yeah, I think my 600 and so or so listeners, I think they're gonna tune out after the 45-minute mark. They're gonna be like, "Oh, okay. They're talking too
Listen,
much. Let me cut that
if anybody listens to this, just let me know what their feedback is.
out."
I
Yeah,
mean, I'm
exactly.
sure you have like one person that might listen to it. Let me know
Yeah,
what their feedback is. I
I know, right?
mean,
Yeah.
I know I'll listen to it, just if not for anything, just to hear what I sound like, and if
It's a
I
big thing. I'm telling you, you're gonna spend
know
the
where
next. You're gonna spend 2 hours out of your day tomorrow listening to yourself, and then you'll probably listen to it again because you'll be like, "Oh yeah, I like that point that I made. Oh yeah, that was a cool. It's
That's the thing.
addicting.
I want to listen to it and find out if I ever made a point, because I do not think in this whole discussion we actually made a point. I think it was just all like kind of like free flowing randomly. We started off strong, and then we just kind of just went from there.
Yeah, you know what? That's the beauty of podcasts, and I give professional podcasters a lot of credit for them, sticking with their point. But this was more like a very heavily opinionated topic, so it was kind of hard to make it, I guess, concise.
And also, neither one of us are experts on the topic. It's not like you were like, asking me about, how to properly put on foundation. It was something,
And
neither
it's
one
not
of
like
us.
the topic was related to the top five greatest wrestling matches of the past year. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, which I have no opinion about because, who knows? I don't watch wrestling, so I wouldn't be able to tell you that. Now, if you ask me, something about something I watch or, Oh my God, you know what? Completely off topic. But we should do this for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that would I have to work myself up to that because Game of Thrones is like way too much to digest. Like I have to actually shit almost I would have to almost write a manuscript of things that I have to say. Because as much as I love Game of Thrones, I have a bad memory when it comes to the characters' names. Like there's characters' names that I forget all the time, and I'm just like, as soon as I see them on screen, I'm like, oh yeah, that's his name or that's her name.
Okay, so start doing that. Which, by the way, the mountain was voted the strongest man in the world.
The mountain, the Hound's brother, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
That's
that's definitely a topic for the future for sure. Because they're filming, they're shooting the final season right now.
But yeah, so that's neither here nor there. But yeah, thank you for having me on. And like I said, I'm gonna listen to see if I ever made a point.
Yeah, you do that, and hopefully. We get one more win against the Red Sox and complete the sweep and then win 18 out of 19. I'm losing track here.
18 out of 19. I'm ready to bust the broom out.
Exactly. I'm ready for the broom, the vacuum cleaner. I'm ready to get it over with these damn Red Sox.
Yeah, seriously.
Well,
Anyway, it
anyway,
is
you have a great night because I'm
you
sure it's
as well.
late as hell on the East Coast.
It's like 1 a.m.
Yeah,
So
Pat is way past my bedtime. So, yeah. So, thanks for coming on, and we'll keep in touch. Obviously.
obviously you gotta stop me. But let me I how will I know when you post this? Can you ask?
I'll upload it. I'll send it to you. Oh, and for all the listeners that are still tuned in, and we haven't lost you, continue to follow me at AYNE Podcast on Instagram.
All right, good night.
Yes, good night.